Good evening to our Central Baptist Church friends, family, and viewers. We want to welcome you to the Wednesday evening Bible study of July the 1st, 2020. If you've got your Bible, that's great. If you don't, hit pause, go grab it real quick, because we're going to look at a passage of scripture that's one of my favorite in the Bible today. It actually comes out of the book of Acts chapter 8. So turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and as you find that, I want to ask you a question in regard to your personal witness. Has there ever been a time when you have shared your faith with a complete stranger, somebody that you didn't even know, whether it was in a marketplace, whether it was in an airport, or somewhere along the way that you were just led to share your faith with somebody? Did you do that? I know that there are times I've asked this same question to folks, and they responded with, "Well, I was led to do that, but I didn't." So I want you to think about why you didn't do that. Why was it that you didn't share your faith at that time? If you did share your faith at that time, think about for just a moment, how did it go? I mean, were you met with resistance? Were your comments met? Were they listened to? Did people heed what it was that you were saying? And I want you to think about those things as we look at today's scripture from Acts chapter 8. Let's go ahead and read that passage, and then we'll have us a word of prayer. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he was reading was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for the fact that you still lead us, that you still guide us. Lord, for the fact that you still want to use your children to bring about your honor and your glory. You still want us to share that gospel message, that plan of salvation with those that are around us. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today through your word. I ask that you help us to heed what the Spirit has to say to us, that our lives may be changed and that we might be drawn closer to you through this time of being in your word. So bless our time, Lord, and this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A minute ago I asked that question as have you ever taken that time or that opportunity to share with somebody else because you were led to do so, not because It was one of those things that you necessarily purposed to do. It may have even been just along the way in life that the Lord impressed upon your heart to share with somebody, much like what we see taking place with Philip. Yeah, I'm sure that in this particular passage in verse 26, it says an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, said, arise and go toward the south. And he was giving him directions of where to go and what to do. I'm sure that Philip wasn't anticipating this. This wasn't something that was part of the plan. Don't even know what he was doing. I'm not saying that he was asleep just simply because it says arise, although he could have been. It also could have been a message where he said, okay, it's time for you to get up and get moving. Here are the directions that I have for you. So what we see in our particular passage today is a Christian whose name is Philip, who was led by God to share the gospel. And it wasn't something that was right there where he was. You know, he had to go and do a few things to be obedient to what it was that the Lord was sharing with him and what the Lord was telling him. And something very interesting took place. Let's look back at verse 26. It says, now the angel of the Lord, notice who that was, angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So what he was telling him to do was get up and go to a place where there's not generally a lot of people. Get up and go to a place that's not comfortable. Get up and go to a place where it's unknown to you. You know, when you think about that, there are times when the Lord has led us to do some things and we might have even brushed it off by saying, well, you know, that just sounds so absurd. Why would the Lord send me to some place where there's no people? So it must have just been something that I ate that was bad last night, as opposed to the Lord leading me in that regard. So yeah, he had to get up. He had to make a journey. He also went to a place where really it wasn't a place that you should run into somebody along the way or where you should see any people. Verse 27 tells us, so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he's obedient. He goes, and what he finds is this eunuch. And you have to understand, notice what it says. It says he was in charge of, he had great authority. He was under the charge of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians' treasury. So he didn't, the Lord didn't send him to somebody who was down and out. The Lord didn't send him to somebody whose stature was lesser than his. You know, often I think about this. At times it seems like it's really, really easy for us to go maybe witness to somebody that's homeless. And you have to ask yourself the question, why is it easier for me to do that than to go to somebody of affluence? I think the answer to that question is because deep down inside, we're not real concerned about what that homeless person may think about us. We're not real concerned if we get rejected from somebody whose stature is less than ours, or that we presume to be less than ours. This is also a great passage to show us that God loves everyone, not just when it comes down to race, but also economically. And I think at times we tend to, in today's society, as Christian people, to shy away from sharing our faith with those that are more affluent than we are, or those who have maybe a little bit more authority than we do along life's way. So Philip goes down there, and what he sees, he doesn't come across a homeless beggar. He sees a man of influence. He sees a man of wealth. And the Lord, in short term, said, there he is. Go get him. And said he'd come down to worship. He was essentially leaving a church service. Let's just kind of say it that way. Notice what it says, verse 27. Again, latter part of it, it said, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. He was on his way back home. So he'd been to church and didn't quite understand exactly what the passages were. He was pondering these things along the way. Verse 28 says this. It says, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So we find out where he is, what he's reading in the scripture. Now I want you to pay careful attention to verse 29. Now, you got to remember, it was an angel of the Lord who told Philip, get up and get moving. Here's where I want you to go. I want you to go down by the desert. This is what you need to do. When he got there, notice verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Now, that seems like some really strange direction. I mean, picture yourself. Put yourself in Philip's place for just a few moments. Philip is obedient. He goes and does what he's asked to do. Probably showed up going, okay, there's a lot of sand. There's a lot of heat. I don't see a lot of things taking place and going on, but here I am. And then he sees this chariot coming by. Not somebody who is a homeless beggar that is sitting by the roadside, but somebody of affluence. And then the Spirit says, I want you to run that chariot now. I want you to catch it. So imagine how strange that must have sounded. I mean, we don't see anything that says that the chariot stopped. We don't see anything that says that he even heeded Philip at all. In other words, go catch that chariot. Yet here is another place where Philip has to be obedient to the Lord's calling to accomplish the will of the Lord in his heart. So what did Philip do? Verse 30 tells us what he did. Verse 30 says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Now get this picture in your mind. The chariot's going along. Evidently, the eunuch was reading out loud because it says Philip heard him. So he's riding along. He's reading the book of Isaiah. And then all of a sudden, Philip comes running up beside him. And he's like, hey, do you understand what you're reading? All this seems a little bit weird. It seems a little bit odd. It seems a little bit out of place. And that's one of the points I want us to understand as we look at this particular passage and as we go through life. Sometimes when God asks us to do things, they seem weird or indifferent. The question is, are we going to be obedient that we might truly see what God has in store in regard to our obedience? Philip did that. And it says in verse 30, so he ran to him. He heard him reading the prophet and he asked him a question. He said, do you understand what it is that you are reading? Now, obviously, there had to have been some conviction in the heart of the eunuch, because remember, he has left church. It says he's on his way from worship. He is returning home. So there were some things that he wasn't sure about, some things that he didn't quite understand. He didn't get all of his questions answered during the worship service, so he is reading for himself. Now, I want you to know this. God knew that. God understood that. God is the one who put the conviction in his life at that particular point. And God also lined up everything that needed to be lined up for him to have an explanation to those scripture passages. Think about that. I mean, Philip didn't know this guy from anybody. The Lord knew the eunuch. The Lord knew Philip. And the Lord said, Philip, I want you to get up. I want you to go out. I want you to just follow me step by step. God didn't give Philip the whole plan right out of the gate. He didn't say, you're going to go down to the desert. You're going to see a guy coming by in a chariot of affluence. You're going to run him down. You're going to talk about the scriptures. He didn't say any of that. He's asking him to follow him one step at a time. Be obedient one step at a time. I'm going to ask you to do something. Be obedient to do it. And that's exactly what Philip did. So we get to this particular point. Philip has asked him, he's hearing him read in Isaiah, and he's asking him, he said, do you understand what it is that you're reading? And verse 31 says this was the answer. He said, how can I unless somebody guides me? Folks, there are people out there today who are hungry for the Lord, who are hungry for the word of the Lord, and they're not understanding it, and they need somebody. They need me. They need you to be able to sit down and explain to them what the scriptures are talking about. Now, the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. But see, you don't get the Holy Spirit until after you receive the Lord as your personal Savior in this day and age, in the age of grace. So let's look at verse 31. It says, and he said to him, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. So he said, oh, you don't have to run beside me. Come on up here and sit down. And then it gives us the passages. It says the place in scripture that he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And it says in verse 34, it says, so the eunuch asked Philip and said, I ask you, and here's the question that he asked, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of another man? In other words, this eunuch was saying, is Jesus making reference to him, to himself, or is it somebody else? You know, is this the person he was talking about, or was he just being a good teacher and talking about somebody else? So verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, there's so much encapsulated in that thought, and preached Jesus to him. When you think about that, what do you think? Well, most of the time what we think about today is that the gospel message, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's where salvation lies. You know, without the death, burial, and resurrection, there could be no salvation. This is what separates Jesus from most other people. He wasn't just a great teacher. He wasn't just a great reformer. He's Lord and Savior. He is risen from the dead. So Philip sits down and he preaches the gospel message to this eunuch. And obviously he had gotten to the point where Jesus said, you know, when you give your heart to me, he says, I want you to do something as a public profession in obedience to that great command. I want you to be baptized by water. Now, I always say this, anytime we get to the point where we're discussing baptism, I want to let you know, baptism is not an element of salvation. It's not required for you to be saved. What it is an act of obedience following your salvation. Now, sometimes people would sit back and say to me, well, why do you say that? What is your scriptural backup? What is your scriptural proof? Think about it for a moment. When Jesus was crucified and he was hanging there on Calvary's cross, there were two thieves, one on either side of him. And one of them said, well, if you're who you say you are, then save yourself and us too. But there was also one there who said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord said to him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. They didn't take him down. They didn't baptize him in water and then hang him back up on the cross. And I believe this at this very moment that he is there with Jesus, and we'll have an opportunity to see him and talk with him when we get there. Now, I'm not downplaying the importance of baptism, because remember, all along we've been talking about being obedient to our Lord and Savior. And this is something that he asks us to do. If you're tuning in this evening and you have trusted the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul, but have never been baptized, my question is, why not? Yeah, the scripture clearly tells us this is something that we are asked to do as a public profession. It doesn't mean that you're not saved if you haven't, but what it means is that you haven't been obedient to follow through with baptism in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? It's such a simple thing, and it's something that we as a church celebrate with you. We celebrate with. Sometimes there are folks who have come to me and they said, well, I accepted Christ when I was a small child and I was baptized, but I never really understood what baptism was all about. So I did it, but I wasn't really sure what was going on. And they'll ask me, they say, should I be rebaptized? In my opinion, yes, you should be, because you did something and didn't know why you did it. It's great knowing why you do what you do. That's what we do with our children oftentimes at the churches. We sit down and after they come to know the Lord and they talk about wanting to be baptized, my question is generally this: why do you want to be baptized? And they need to be able to explain to me, because it's in obedience to the Lord's command in my life. I realize it's not an element of my salvation, but it is part of my obedience to him, and it is my public profession of faith. So I want you to think about that today. If that's something that you need to take care of, please get in contact with us, because we want you to not have that conviction in your heart that you have been obedient to our Lord and Savior in regard to baptism. And Philip said to him in verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded his chariot to stand still. Verse 38, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. And I want you to think about some things that were all this, the things that were set up to get to this particular point. Here is a eunuch who's been under conviction at a worship service, didn't get his questions answered. And the Lord knows his route. He's going to be traveling back home. He puts it in Philip's heart. He says, here's what I need you to do. Philip was obedient to heed the call to head down to a desolate area where he runs into this eunuch. The timing was right. He got there as the chariot went by, had to run it down, had a chance to share that faith. When he get to that point, then all of a sudden, here is a pool of water out in the middle of a desert so he can be baptized. Folks, I've been saying this so many times, and I want to reiterate it today. God's timing is perfect, and all things do work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So along your way in life, when it seems like you're out in a barren desert, God has a plan. When you get to a point where you see the chariot coming, God may ask you to go run the chariot down. Along the way, you know, what was needed, God provided. Here was this eunuch who trusted the Lord with all of his heart, and he wanted to follow in baptism. In fact, he is the one who said to Philip, "Here is water. What is stopping me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "Nothing. God provided the water." Along the way, God has taken care of every need. Every provision was in place. So when you're along the way in that journey, just understand, God has already has it mapped out. All he's looking for you and I to be is obedient and to enjoy what it is that he is going to do. So verse 38 says, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." Verse 39, "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way." Now the Lord gave him a ride to where he needed him to be. Could you imagine what that must have been like? All of a sudden, you know, when the baptism is over and the eunuch comes up to celebrate and maybe to say thank you to Philip for helping him. Philip's not there. Where is he? He's in Azotus. Notice once again, verse 39, "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." So the eunuch's like, "Well, I don't know what happened, but I don't know what happened with Philip, but I know what happened with me and a relationship with the Lord and the joy that filled his soul." It said he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus. And what was he doing? He was passing through. He was preaching to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This is all part of God's plan, folks. No matter what's taking place in your life, it's all part of God's plan. And the thing that we need to understand is that God wants to use us for his honor and for his glory along the way. You know, I started off this evening by asking you, has there been a time in your life when you have ever just shared your faith with a complete stranger? Did the Lord lead you to do that? You know, I think about how those things went. Now I want to ask you today, how is it that we can become more sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit within our lives? I talk to people all the time and they say, "Well, you know, I just don't, you know, I don't have that sense to go and do these things." Well, let me ask you this. How is your walk? Are you really walking with the Lord? And I'm not trying to question that in a bad way, but the thing about it is God is moving all around us. And when we're in tune to him, we will see opportunities every day, every way, and in every moment. So what are you doing? What are you doing to walk so closely to the Lord that you're heeding his word when he wants us to share that plan of salvation or his message with those in our sphere of influence and those that are around us? So how can we become more sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, what do you need to do in your life to be more prepared to be a witness for him? Courage is, of course, part of it. You know, the more you do something, the better it is. Satan's going to try to keep you from sharing your faith with anybody. Yeah, and the other thing, like in this passage that I love so much, don't just try to target somebody who may be less than you are socially or economically or racially. You know, the Lord sends us to everyone. You know, we've sing that little song, "Red and Yellow, Black and White." Well, that deals with race, but what about the economy? This passage right here says that that Philip was sent to somebody who was affluent. So the gospel is not just for a select crew; it's for all who will believe. And we are in our sphere of influence because the Lord put us there. Question is, will we be what God needs us to be along the way and be that influence for him? I like what the last question of our study actually says. It says, what do you need to do to be more prepared to witness to others? What will happen to others if we do not obey God when he leads us to witness to somebody? You know, what is it that we intend to do about that? Ask yourself this question. Where would that eunuch be today had Philip not been obedient? You know, I can't answer that question. I don't know. Because I believe, too, that God can also call other people to accomplish his will. I believe that his will at that particular time was to send Philip there, and he was going to make sure that Philip got the message. The question is, Are you getting the message that God is sending you? What is happening if we're not being what God wants us to be as far as a witness for Him? What a great, great biblical passage, and so many things that we can learn when we insert ourselves into that. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we will heed the call of the Lord in our heart and our life, and that every day as we go about our business, that we will be able to see what it is God wants us to see, that we will see people through His eyes, and that we will heed the call of the Holy Spirit to share that wonderful plan of salvation, knowing that God already has those people prepared to hear His message. Let me have a word of prayer with you as we finish up tonight, and then I'll let you know what our Bible readings for the next week will be. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight, we just ask that you would help us to clear the channels of communication, that we might hear you clearly, that we might be obedient when you lead us in places to go, people to see, and that Lord, we might be faithful in sharing the plan of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, people won't know unless they hear, and they won't hear unless they're told, and you're still using your children to share the love of Christ that saves each and every one from sin, death, and hell. So help us, Lord, to be obedient and about your will. Help us to make sure we've got clear lines of communication to hear exactly what you want us to do. Now, Lord, I pray for a blessing of each and every family that is tuned in. May you do something so incredible in their lives, much like you did here with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, let me go ahead and give you what your Bible passages for July the 8th will be. Our Bible study for July 8th will cover Acts chapter 12 through Acts chapter 16. Once again, that's Acts chapter 12 through Acts chapter 16. And the focal passage of next Wednesday is going to be Acts chapter 12 verses 1 through 17, where Peter is rescued by prayer. Man, what a great thing, the power of prayer and what it can do. Just want you to know that we love you, praying that God will bless you. As a reminder, when it comes up to our ways of being able to give, you can either drop that by the church, you can mail it in to the church, P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310, or you can go over to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You can find the giving tab there, and your gifts will not only bless you for being obedient to our Lord and Savior, but it will also help continue to keep our ministry going. Once again, I want to remind folks that on the 12th, of a Sunday, the 12th is a call conference. The specific purpose for the call conference is to vote on and to approve financing to enhance our online presence. What you're seeing right now is a video shot by phone, so you should have the information in hand and the ways to vote. If you have any questions, you can always call the church office. Listen, God bless you. We love you. We pray you have a great, great evening, and may God truly bless each and every family.